What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Keeping It Low Key. So as you may have noticed, this episode is going to be a little different. We're just going to be releasing this little short mini episode on our Instagram. So hopefully you guys are all tuning in. Unfortunately, there's been some breaking news recently. Legendary for an MC, DMX, has unfortunately passed away due to a heart attack that was induced by a drug overdose. Wow, he was also, what would you say, like in a coma?
Yeah, he was in a coma.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Vegetative state,
yeah. Either way, it's really, really upsetting, especially since because me and Daniel both have some pretty vivid memories of DMX's music. Now, nowadays, I wouldn't exactly say that he's my favorite rapper by any means, but he was very... I would say important when it came to, you know, getting me into the hip hop genre, you know.
Yeah, and DMX, like, insane, dude. 5 platinum albums in a row, 3 platinum albums within 18 months. That is, like, insane. He was one of the biggest rappers of all time.
No, for real. And, like, and interestingly enough, you know, a lot of his lyrics, you know, by today's standards were definitely problematic. But what's hilarious is he never got called out on it, probably because people were scared of him. And like,
and it was the 90s. People didn't really have respect for those communities back then like they do now. And even then, they barely do now. So.
Right. But I mean, I still have to admit, even the songs that were problematic were still, a vibe, you know, and it's still, you know, I wouldn't be listening to the music that I'm listening to now if it wasn't for DMX.
What's your word though? Let's say it's a vibe up until that part, and then it's a vibe after that part.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Either way, he was pretty influential. He was pretty important. I have pretty vivid memories of, like, you know, mowing the lawn during like my transition from 6th to 7th grade. Like during the summers, and like all that would be in my headphones would be DMX. You know, he was just like a really important rapper. You know, it's what got us here. You know, but that got me and Daniel thinking, you know, we've been kind of in a like a reflective state since then, you know. And now we're kind of like, well, you know, DMX is what got us into hip hop, but that's now making us think about, well, what's the music that really resonates with us as a whole? You know, and I thought, you know, it would be a really good way for our audience to get to know us if, you know, we just kind of told you guys some of the albums that we personally hold near and dear to our hearts, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't necessarily our, like, favorite albums, our albums we think are, like, the best pieces of music. These are albums that just kind of make us feel something and that really resonate with us and that we would like to share.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so, Dano, you can go, like, right ahead with yours.
Okay. So first up for me, we've got New Zealand noise pop group, the 3Ds, with The Venus Trail, a 1992 album. And this album, it's really nice. New Zealand noise pop is a pretty underrated genre, I feel like, over here in the States. And I've talked to, well, Pickle Darling, who's from New Zealand, and he's heard of the 3Ds. But I don't know, like, anyone over here who listens to the 3Ds, and I think the standout track on this album that I would like to share is Spooky. It's very somber and mellow, and it's a vibe, for real.
Yeah. No, yeah. Why does it resonate with you, though?
Why does it resonate with me?
What personally? Why does it touch you?
I feel like I was in kind of a bad place when I found them. And the song Spooky is like, I don't even really know how to explain it, but there's songs or there's lyrics that are like, didn't mean to make you weave and stuff like that. And it's just like, it's kind of depressing. The whole album doesn't carry that tone, but that song really does carry that. Mm-hmm. And I find myself coming back to that song and that album like all the time, just because it, I don't know, it reminds me of a certain time in my life.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. For my album, kind of going with an underrated pick, although it's hilarious because he's definitely not an underrated artist. Kanye West, actually, whether you love him or you hate him, I think there is a lot of merit to the music that he makes. You know, he's definitely an influential artist, at least when it comes to the hip hop genre, definitely the psychedelic trap genre. You know, there's a lot of, he's got a lot of proteges that have been in the works, like Kid Cudi, you've got Travis Scott,
Uzi.
Yeah, you got Uzi. There's a lot of people that have come in, you know, the aftermath of Kanye West, if you will. But I think it was released my sophomore year of high school. But the album Ye, it's the one with the mountains, and it says, I love being bipolar, it's my superpower.
No, it's I hate being bipolar, it's awesome. I'm pretty.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is. I'm thinking of his tweet. Or yeah. He said on like the late night show. Yeah, but that's what it says on the cover of the album. But this album was, you know, like heavily overlooked by a lot of Kanye fans, and I think it wasn't really fair because a lot of his most personal music, you know, comes off that album. When I first heard the song Ghost Town, it was like, it just touched me because it kind of represented how I was feeling at the time, you know. And
I put my hand on the stove.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. I just have to.
Yeah, I love that song a lot. And maybe it's just like stupid teenage angst, but I know that definitely when that song was released, I like those lyrics were really personal to me. I felt like I could really understand them. I felt like Kanye, this is so stupid. I felt like Kanye was kind of like speaking to me, you know. it felt very relatable, you know. And, you know, there's something even so personal about the song, like Violent Crimes, that is so like relatable as well. It's weird because he's talking about fatherhood, but I feel like he captures a feeling of uncertainty. And, you know, I know in recent years, especially like through junior year, there was a lot of uncertainty. I was dealing with a lot of feelings of uncertainty, and that album just kind of really, it spoke to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The album speaks to me too. It's definitely my top five EA albums. Like it's very different from a lot of his other work.
It's much more personal. It feels more close. I really wish people paid more attention to it, you know. And even, I mean, really big critics like Fantano and stuff like pointed out that Ye was like a really good album, but nobody seemed to care, you know. Everybody is,
I feel like it kind of got overshadowed by Kids See Ghosts. I mean, they came out within like the span of a month, and Kids See Ghosts is just like, it's insane, right?
And I mean, that's what's so interesting too, is that like Kids See Ghosts is just like essentially a continuation of Ye.
Yeah, a lot of the themes. I mean, it even has Ghost Town Part 2 on it.
Exactly. So like it's literally just like the follow-up to it. It's just so sad that it got completely overshadowed by Kids See Ghosts.
I'd say they're on like, I mean, personally, I like Kids See Ghosts a little better, but I'd say they're like almost on par with each other.
The only thing is with Kids See Ghosts is that like I find the production better on it, but it's not as personal. It feels more it feels more digestible.
Yeah.
Definitely compared to Ye.
Yeah.
Sure. That's my album, or one of my albums. What's yours?
My next one. Okay, so my second and final one for right now is If We Try and Become Flowers by American Poetry Club, who we've had on the podcast before. I'm going to say it. I know it's kind of cringe. A friend of the podcast.
A friend of the podcast, American.
A friend of the podcast, American Poetry Club. But still, definitely not the same type of music as the 3D's album I mentioned, but still the same somber vibe. All of American Poetry Club's music really resonates with me, but this album I'd say might be my favorite by them. Mm-hmm. It just has a lot of good tracks on it. Sad Song 7, and then my personal favorite, Lyrics Mean Nothing, Feelings Mean Everything, and that song really resonates with me. I always listen to them when I'm just trying, like if I'm sad and I need to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And Lyrics Mean Nothing, Feelings Mean Everything is like crazy because it's just Jordan belting out a single line for 2 minutes straight while the instrumentation gets more and more like intense, and it's such a beautiful track. I love it, and I appreciate that album so much.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you're kind of showing me up here because you're pointing out that some of the people we've had on our podcast, their albums landing on yours. I'm choosing all the big artists. Yeah, but my second album is the soundtrack to the movie Purple Rain, the Prince film.
Swag album.
It's phenomenal. I love it so much. But this has roots to my childhood for sure. I mean, I've loved Prince since I heard him on the radio back when my mom showed me him when I was a little kid. And you know, because of my love of film, you know, I had to see the movie Purple Rain, you know, and that even like further instilled the love of that album in me. But there's just something so hopeful about the album. And, you know, obviously, you know, that album has a lot of like sexual undertones, you know, there's a lot of different stuff on that album that's like, you know, probably not like appropriate for like, let's say like a 10-year-old, but I think it's because of,
I mean, DMX isn't really either. I've been listening to DMX since I was like 8.
Right. But what I'm saying is that the time period for which I listen to it puts a different context to how I hear it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's something so hopeful about it. Kind of like almost like as if you're like hoping for brighter days. The song, my favorite Prince song ever is actually on the album, Take Me With You. And I sing that in the car all the time, but like there's just something so like, I can't wait for, you know, tomorrow. You know, I whether that be with somebody you love, somebody you want to be with, or maybe if it's even just like hoping that like tomorrow is better. It's like this idea, take me with you, you know, like we can get away from this. And, you know, it just spoke to me. And then, you know, obviously the song, the classic Wild Prince song everybody thinks of when doves cry, you know, like it's stereotypical. It's such a radio song, but it's beautiful at that. It shows his Prince's skill for sure, you know. It shows his dexterity with the instruments that he chooses to use. But also the lyrics are like very reflective. You know, a lot of people see that song as like, you know, a classic Prince banger, but like you take a second to like actually look at the lyrics, it's pretty much him like looking in the mirror, you know, and almost asking the audience to do the same, you know, like how have your, you know, in what way do you resemble your parents, you know, how you like them, how you not like them, you know, who are you becoming as a person, you know. And then that beautiful like juxtaposition when doves cry, you know, doves are like, you know, supposed to be like this like elegant little bird, you know, and like he paints the picture of them wailing. But yeah.
Yep.
So that's my that's my second album. So yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, so moving away kind of probably from like a more depressing tone, much less of a somber tone.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is coming from the standpoint of like RIP DMX, you know, he's got us thinking about like what we like
and what resonates with us. But moving on, we are going to be talking about some new albums that have released, and my pick to talk about, which is why I said maybe don't say that, is the new Brockhampton album, which I have a review of that.
Back into the somber tone.
Back into the somber tone. Don't get me wrong, there's bangers on this album, but there's a lot of it that's just like real gut punch depressing. Mm-hmm. And I have a review of it coming out. I feel like my feelings might have changed a little bit since I first heard it, though. So I first originally gave it a 7, and I had some critiques on it. But after listening to it for the past few days, the past 2 days, I like it a lot. It might be like in my top 5. Like, it is a very solid record for sure. The song Buzzcut with Danny Brown, the Danny Brown feature. When I first heard it, I thought the Danny Brown feature was like the best part, and it really made the song. But the song itself is just amazing through and through. Danny Brown's verse is funny. It's super funny in certain parts. And it's like, it's hard too. Like, the song is dope. Chain On with JPEG Mafia, which was originally released as Chain On Hold Me for their Technical Difficulties release, has been cut in half to just include the Chain On part. It features a sample at the very tail end of the track of Cash Rules Everything Around Me by Wu-Tang Clan.
Mm-hmm.
Count On Me has an uncredited verse from ASAP Rocky, which is really good. At first, I wasn't a big fan of the chorus on that track, but it's grown on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally released Bankroll, which features Rocky and Ferg, but another banger.
Yeah.
And here's where we get into the more somber portion. We've got The Light, and The Light is about Joba's father killing himself. It's about, if I remember correctly, Kevin Abstract's sexuality, and it's very depressing. As someone who's lost their father, The Light Part 1 and The Light Part 2 are both very hard tracks to listen to with those bars.
Right.
And then Windows. Originally, I thought this song was too long, and I critiqued that in my original review. I said the song was too long and it could have been cut down, but I think it's good just the way it is. However, there is still one critique that really bugs me. Joba has this bar where he talks about COVID-19. And just personally, it just bothers me. I don't know what it is, but when I hear someone say like anything about COVID-19 in a song, it just like, it almost like ruins the whole verse for me. And there's a...
Yeah, I mean, other artists kind of fall prey to that thing too. I mean, Eminem... Yeah, I mean, he falls prey to that temptation to like talk about, there's something about like talking about like super current events that doesn't make it relatable, because you just, yeah, the music is going to become like immediately dated.
And I don't think that's always like, I don't know what it is about when Eminem does it, because like back in 2000, he released Marshall Mathers LP, he talked about the Columbine shooting, and that was only like a year after it happened. And that one doesn't feel stupid. But with the COVID stuff, it just feels really like dumb, not tasteless. It just feels dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a line on Buzzcut, the Danny Brown feature, where Kevin Abstract says, "I felt the virus." And I feel like that line works. It works when you don't reference the name of the virus.
Right, it's kind of illusionary. Like it's referencing some, like if you're in on the joke, like, yeah, get it if you know.
And if you don't know, then it's still digestible.
Right, because like, I mean, like, it's a double entendre. It means something else too.
And then I'll Take You On and Old News are good, but they're probably like two of the least memorable tracks for me,
mm-hmm,
on the album. And then we get to What's the Occasion, and What's the Occasion might be my favorite track on the album. It's another guitar-driven track, like The Light Part 1, The Light Part 2, but it's beautiful. It's got this breakdown at the end with, like, I know it's not a child singing, but they have, like, this, I don't remember which member it is, but they have them pitch shifted up to sound like a child singing, and it breaks down to more an orchestral sort of sound, and it is just, I think it's the most beautiful song on the album.
Right.
Skipping over When I Ball, because I don't really like When I Ball is all right, but going to Don't Shoot Up the Party. Don't Shoot Up the Party has a lot of current world events they mention. They talk about like issues within our society, but they do it in like a banger form. You know, it's like, it's still like, you can still like bop your head to it. You'll listen to the lyrics and be like, ooh, but then you'll hear the beat and you'll be like, ooh.
Ooh. No, yeah, for sure. Well, if you're going to talk about like current album releases, right?
Yeah, I've got two more songs though for this broadcast.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. So then we've got the second to last album, second last song, Dear Lord, which when I first heard it, I absolutely hated it. It reminded me of Jesus is King by Kanye. And but knowing what went behind it, one of the other members of Brockhampton wrote it for Joba when his dad killed himself. And so listening to it again, knowing that, I like it a little bit more and I can appreciate it, but it's still just not for me.
Right.
And then I've already talked about The Light Part 2. It's a continuation of The Light and beautiful. It's a great album closer. And I originally gave this album a 7, but I think I'll go back up and give it an 8.
Right. No, absolutely. If you're going to be, definitely check out the new Brockhampton album, guys. It's phenomenal. When me and my friend Jonathan went to the record store the other day, we went to a Vintage Vinyl down on Delmar Loop, which is in the city in St. Louis. He was hunting for, you know, new vinyl albums, and we came across a bunch of people, and they obviously, I don't think Brockhampton's latest album is on vinyl yet, or like probably wouldn't be available in stores yet.
It's not on vinyl yet. It's only on CD right now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we asked them, like, hey, you know, is the new Brockhampton album good? And everybody seems to be like loving it. You know, I think everybody is really happy with the way it's turning out. So definitely go check out that. Daniel, if you're going to be giving, you know, new album releases, I'm going to go ahead and give underrated album recommendations.
All right.
I definitely want to recommend. Well, first of all, let me set this up. We're both big fans of Outkast. You know, Outkast, classic hip hop duo. Andre 3000, Big Boy, phenomenal duo. You know, similar technical rap style, but very very different in terms of like actual flow and like sound. So, you know, they do really good together. And then also the electronic duo Fantagram, which is a phenomenal like house pop duo that makes like some really awesome music.
Fantagram is crazy.
Fantagram is so good. It's like literally if Daft Punk had like a like female like lead singer to go with their production and instrumentals. They're so good. But the reason I'm mentioning both of those two things is because a Big Boy from Outkast, not many people know this, Big Boy from Outkast and Fantagram actually did a collab album together called Big Grams. And it is such a phenomenal little project, completely overlooked. It makes me upset because I don't know a lot of people that actually know about this project. But it has incredible verses from Big Boy. Obviously, if Fantagram is involved, the production is going to be crazy. And the lead singer always brings it with her best vocals. Like, she's crazy. She's so good. But some standout parts of this album is the fact that you also have, I believe, let me pull it up here. I believe you have more than one. Nope, you have a Run the Jewels feature on the song Born to Shine. And you know, Killer Mike is always just such a beast, you know, like lyrically. And then obviously him and Killer Mike and Big Boy trading bars is crazy. And then the song Put It On Her, this is like just a nice, like, I don't even know if I can call it chill, but it's definitely not a banger, but it's definitely not something you relax to. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just perfect. It's almost like a perfect track. I love it so much. It's definitely very cinematic. It's one of those things that like you could totally like see in a movie. And throughout this whole project, there's just like an overall like James Bond 007 type of classy feel to it. Like, it's just drenched in these, like, little, like, pieces that make you, like, oh, I'm, like, a secret agent at, like, this massive, like, gala in, like, London or something. While at the same time feeling like, oh, I'm, like, Deadpool and I'm feeling quirky. Like, there's, like, all these, like, little pieces of it that make it just so interesting to listen to. So, I highly recommend Big Grams. So, yeah.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our little mini-sode today. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. We do have an interview with Strawberry Milk Cult coming up, or actually by the time that this drops, maybe it's already out, but hopefully you guys go check that out. Strawberry Milk Cult was such a amazing interview. Good couple of dudes. Unfortunately, it wasn't the entire band.
That's all right, though. That's
all right. But it's all right, though. They're still awesome. And go learn more about them. They're definitely coming up in the indie scene, you know?
Yeah. And then we've also got our next scheduled interview so far. We've got our first returning act, mm-hmm. T from Various, aka part of Five Loco,
aka also known as part of Five Loco.
No, that didn't really work. Is that what aka stands for?
Also known as?
Yeah. That's insane.
All right, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you go subscribe to the YouTube channel, Keeping It Low Key, and also make sure to follow us on Spotify. And I'm pretty sure if you're viewing this, you're already following us on Instagram. But if you haven't already, make sure you follow us on Instagram so you get all the latest updates of when we release new episodes. Because we're pretty inconsistent with our releases and when we release them. But if you're following the Instagram page, you'll know when they release.
Yeah. I'm going to be back on that. I'm going to try and be back on, you know, MF Doom died and I kind of got put into a slump for a few months. So,
oh man, I know there was that big long dead space between, like, I don't know. It was like New Year's and like now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All righty, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. See you next time.
Peace.